Special council meeting is called to order August 11th, 2026. Roll call, please, Shannon.
Timothy Fox.
Present.
Sharon Briggs.
Present.
Kyle Cerencioni. Absent. Lorene M. Felstap.
Present.
Shannon, deputy town clerk, is also present.
We have quorum currently because we only have three council members. Two makes a quorum, so we will begin the meeting. Everyone would like to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So tonight we're starting out the meeting with interviews for the council member vacancy. And so we're going to proceed similar to how we did before, that we have two candidates this evening. That is Sandra Plum and Carrie Reedy, so everybody knows. And we have the same roster of questions that we had before. I don't think I need to go through our meeting conduct because we have all adults here tonight. And so, I apologize that because of not having a clerk in the office aside from myself, and then when I can wrangle Shannon into the office, we did not get packets to the council in advance. And so one application you're familiar with because that person is returning from the previous round. So council, you want a quick minute to review the applications, or are we ready to begin the interviews?
Oh, that's fine. I'm ready to go.
Okay, so two council member applicants, please step into the library.
Don't have too much fun back here.
And don't have fun. Yes. I can't answer this. Please.
What are we doing?
Kyle. What is that?
So last time we chose numbers.
It's Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
How would we like to decide who's first today?
Alphabetical order, or if that's not random enough, we can draw lots.
Alphabetical by last name?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, very
good. We
have
a quorum without you if you're unable to make it. If you are, we'd love to see you.
Then I will go ahead and call Sandra into the room.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure how long it's going to take. We'll see.
So we're starting with Sandra Plum, who has turned in her application.
We are just starting the interviews right now.
I'm going to go ahead and start then with the, as before, I am allowed to be part of the process, so I will be asking questions as well. I do not get a vote. It will be these two, and if our third makes it, that'll be it.
Well, if we disagree,
I cannot vote. We then have to start over again, and hopefully by then Kyle will be here. But
Kyle is on his way. He's on the freeway.
Wonderful. So we'll go ahead and start if that's okay.
So do we want to wait till he gets here so we can have all interviews?
He's probably about 20 minutes out.
Okay. 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so
we could do other business.
Would we like
first.
An executive decision to table this and go to the next item on the agenda?
I'm okay with that. Talk to Carrie, who she is.
Sandra, would you mind bringing Carrie back in?
Yeah, what other business do we have?
What?
You've got the agenda, right?
So, last month, let's go ahead and have Tara for that. Yeah. If there's not objection, we're going to move forward on the agenda in order to give the...
So it's official. I'll move that we table the interviews until Kyle gets here.
Thank you for that motion. Tim has motioned that we table the interviews until Kyle arrives. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second. Shannon, would you call the question, please?
Councilperson Fox?
Yep.
Councilperson Briggs?
Yes.
The motion carries. We will move on to the second item, which is to revisit the motion from last meeting, last week, that was the second reading to amend the ordinance 1-6-1 and 1-6-3 that sets the specific date and time of the town council meetings, allowing the regularly scheduled meetings to be set by resolution. So here's what happened. When we read it last week and then discussed it at length, as we did, and when we came back around to the time to make a motion to accept and or adopt this motion, Shannon was noticing the paper didn't get filled out. Well, and that's because I didn't make it to the point of saying, I would like a motion.
Neither one of us did.
To vote on adopting this ordinance. So, because it's the second reading, does council have any concerns with this action?
So, can you explain to me what you mean?
Well, we read this ordinance.
Right.
Last week.
Yeah.
And it was the second reading. When we were done reading it and we did discussion, and then what happens is that we need to adopt.
We didn't do the formal motion.
We basically need to move to approve that that second reading?
Yes.
And we didn't do that. Okay.
Correct.
Is it okay if we do it now without reading it again?
Yes. Because we've read it the second time, we just didn't do the motion.
Sure.
So if council...
I think it was our intention to approve that second reading anyway. So I'll move that we approve the second reading for ordinance, yada, yada, yada.
1-6-1 and 1-6-3. Mm-hmm. That's terrific. That sets the date for the council meeting. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
So it's been motioned and seconded that we will... amend our ordinance that sets the specific date and time of the town council meetings. Before we actually call the question, are there any objections from this action? Hearing none, I would like you to call the question, Shannon.
Councilperson Fox.
I'll vote yes. Yeah.
Councilperson Briggs.
Yes.
Motion carries to amend the ordinance 1-6-1 and 1-6-3. Wonderful. Thank you. And this is one of the reasons why we have these nice forms to try to help, but sometimes when a council meeting gets busy, it's difficult to catch all the details. So thank you so much. Under new business, we are proposing to move the regularly scheduled council meeting of September 1st to September 8th. I don't know if Kyle would like to be present for this information or not. Shannon is not going to be here the last week of the month, and this is the new clerk's first 3 weeks. 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2.5 weeks-ish before the council meeting. So, that's why we're proposing bumping it to September 8th. Council, what do you think?
So what is the purpose of moving the date of the meeting?
So that it gives the town office adequate time to prepare for the meeting, because part of the staff is going to be out of the office and the main items like claims will not be able to be processed.
Would we need a resolution to move that? Because now that we've amended our town ordinance, we can set it by resolution, but I don't know if we can, like, what's the process of if we wanted to move a single meeting?
Moving a single meeting, we did it before without a resolution.
With a motion, yes.
Yeah, we did.
The resolution is coming behind this, and that will allow us to change the official meeting to any time that we want and set that. To just change one meeting, you can do a motion.
So the holiday is actually the 7th of September, so this would be the Tuesday following.
Which holiday?
This is Labor Day.
It usually falls closer to the 1st.
So it would be Monday, and then the following Monday would be the 8th.
Tuesday.
Or on Tuesday, yeah. So with that in mind, the office would be closed that Monday, the 1st. Right?
It's a holiday. Well,
right.
Because it's a holiday.
Yes.
That is correct.
One of the things that we've had trouble with in the past, not like trouble, but like one of the things that's been an issue is when there's a holiday directly preceding a council meeting, there's been talk of like how that causes a struggle with, you know, getting council meeting business done ahead of time.
That's exactly what we're asking.
No, but that doesn't make sense to me, because you want to move it to the Monday after a holiday.
Because we'll be here that week prior.
The 1st?
Yeah.
That's when it would normally be.
But we don't have time to prepare for the meeting on the 1st when we have one day to do it.
I see. So you're saying that you will have time on the 8th. Have it all done, especially
with... Can I help out with this?
What's that?
I'm going to be gone, and I'm not coming home till the 31st. And if we have a council meeting on the 1st, I'm not going to be able to do the end-of-the-month claims, which are generally when all the statements and everything are sent. So claims will have to be cut off on the 25th.
Yeah.
To do that.
Well,
so
I
it was giving
that.
More time to
that.
Get the paperwork done.
I'm just concerned that we're, you know, like... moving it from one inconvenient date directly to another one, which we've in the past talked about how inconvenient and difficult it is
sure.
to have it directly following a holiday.
I can assure you that the office is not requesting that we move one inconvenient date to another inconvenient date. We gave this quite a bit of thought for what Shannon's schedule would be, because she's the one that does the bulk of this work. Is the date inconvenient for you?
No, not necessarily. I'm just trying to keep in mind, you know, like the things that we, you know, have historically had problems with when it comes to scheduling meetings and stuff like that. Sharon, what do you think about this?
It doesn't bother me. I can make both of them.
The problem isn't that you can make it. It's
I'd like to be prepared. I'd like to have Shannon. Have time to prepare for our council meetings. We have all the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
And the claims being paid on time. And
So, I mean, I guess what I'm not saying that we shouldn't move because you won't be there leading up until the 1st. I am maybe also suggesting that September 8th is also not a good day for this proposed move meeting.
It's just the next Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the next Tuesday.
But it is preceded directly by a holiday in which the office will be closed.
Mm-hmm. Right. I get your point. What are you proposing then?
Well, I'm not sure. And that's why I'm just having a conversation. You know, but this is my concern, is that we are moving it from one difficult day to another difficult day. You know, like, and maybe it's like slightly less difficult. That's, you know, and if you feel like that is appropriate and we can get everything we need to do done, I just don't want to have there be a time where we're like, hey, we're making this special effort, and then it's also a pain.
Well, we've already been through that in the month of May.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that.
Karen has a question.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Karen?
That's also the night of the school board meeting.
Yes.
And that becomes a bad night because there are a lot
but
of
the
people
school board
who
has...
can't do both.
I think I just read on the school board agenda for tonight that they're changing their meeting tonight to a different day.
So
because
it's not September 8th, it's not the second Tuesday, because they are generally the second Tuesday.
They're changing from the second Tuesday, and darned if I don't recall what that said. That's not it right there, is it? No, that's in a different agenda right there.
Right.
No, they don't put their school board up here, so I do know also that the second Tuesday of the month is when Frenchtown Rural Fire meets, and so then the chief can't be here.
Right.
So perhaps
Superior City, I think Superior's Town Council meets the second Tuesday of the month also.
Is it better to keep it on a Tuesday?
I believe it's a
Monday.
Or should we pick another day? I mean, I do understand what Tim is saying in the sense that, you
right.
know, it's the day after a holiday. And everybody's just getting back and
yeah.
getting
yeah.
their stuff together.
I mean, I don't know. It's yeah. traditionally been kind of an issue where,
but
like,
if
after
we did
a holiday,
on a random Thursday, is that going to throw everybody off too
yeah.
much, too?
Exactly. Like, Tuesdays
well,
are kind of the historical date
well,
for it.
Yeah. Once this gets...
I mean, I'm in Sharon's boat. Personally, I can generally make a meeting whenever is, you know, like, pretty accessible. But for out of respect for the community, I think that it is, like, something that we should try and stick at least somewhat to the pattern that we have established. You know,
yeah.
like, Tuesdays are the meeting day. And,
uh-huh.
You remember what happened the last time we changed it?
Yes.
Everyone forgot.
It got double.
Yeah. So,
kind of like tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problems with it on the September 8th date. I think I just wanted to raise the concerns that
mm-hmm.
we've had concerns in the
mm-hmm.
past about having a meeting after
mm-hmm.
a holiday weekend, you know, where there's been like multiple days and a day, in fact, prior up to that, that we have not had the opportunity to have the office open, get pre-meeting work done.
Well,
but again, if the town office clerks and treasurers and you, Ms. Mayor, think that it is not going to be a problem, I think that in the interest of just making sure that that's fine as a one-off thing.
Well, there is another option.
Well, there's lots of options. What do you have in mind?
Well, we do have one other item that we could talk about. And see if maybe Kyle has an opinion. Do you want to table this as well?
I don't see any other item on the agenda.
No, we have an emergency item on the agenda besides public comment.
Oh, I see. Wow. Why don't we wait, and I'll move to table this until Kyle can get here as well. I feel like he's got some good input, and since we're waffling, it might be useful to have his opinion on this matter.
So, pursuant to...
I just made a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you make a motion? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm moving forward. Sorry. Okay. We have a motion on the floor to table the proposed moving of the meeting. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Tim, for pointing out that. Shannon, would you like to call?
Councilperson Fox.
Yes.
Councilperson Briggs.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion carries to table that until...
We see Kyle.
We see Kyle. So, back to the emergency at hand. I've never done this before. Just big surprise. You'll please pass these around.
I think you could have typed this in a smaller font.
No, I tried really, actually, I had help too. So pursuant to Everton Town Code Title 9, Chapter 9-4, Civil Defense, Section 9-4-2 is the operative authority that says the mayor is authorized and directed during periods of emergency or disaster affecting the town of Everton to take whatever actions are reasonably necessary to prevent or minimize loss of life and property, acting jointly with the Middle County Board of County Commissioners. The mayor can sign a proclamation unilaterally without town council vote. A wildfire threat qualifies as the kind of catastrophe or disaster that the ordinance covers. And the code gives the mayor direct emergency authority rather than routing it through the normal ordinance resolution process that applies to non-emergency council business, which is in Title I.
Okay.
So the one thing to note in the signature note, the ordinance frames this as a joint town-county function, so it's worth confirming to all of you and also documenting. Mineral County has been notified. We haven't yet discussed what the coordination will be, but For this action item, a council vote is not required. So per the notice, the restrictions will go into effect Friday morning at 1 a.m. And this was drafted and emailed to me this afternoon by our chief, Damian Frisbee.
Great.
For Frenchtown Rural Fire.
Would you do me a favor and for the record, just read this out loud for the recording?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Tim. Town of Alberton, Montana has issued an emergency proclamation, stage 2 fire restrictions for the following activities that are prohibited in the town of Alberton effective Friday, August 14th at 1 a.m. This will continue until rescinded by the town of Alberton, or these prohibitions may be extended by further action of the mayor. Number one, building, maintaining, attending, or using a fire or campfire is prohibited. Number two, smoking, except within an enclosed vehicle, building, or within an outdoor area of at least 3 feet in diameter that is barren or cleared of all flammable material and vegetation is prohibited. Number three, the following acts are prohibited from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. A, operating an internal combustion engine, as in mowing your lawn. B, welding or operating acetylene or other torch with open flame. C, use of an explosive device. A 1 hour foot patrol in the work area is required following the cessation of all activities as identified in number three above. Number four, operating motorized vehicles off designated road and trails. Stage two exceptions. Number one, persons with a written permit that specifically authorizes the otherwise prohibited act. Number two, persons using a device solely fueled by liquid petroleum or LPG fuels that can be turned off and on and off. Such devices can only be used in an area that is barren or cleared of all overhead and surrounding flammable materials within 3 feet of the device. Number three, operating generators with an approved spark arresting device within an enclosed vehicle or building, or in an area that is barren or cleared of all overhead and surrounding flammable materials within 3 feet of the generator. Number four, operating a motorized vehicle on designated roads or trails. Number five, emergency repair of public utilities and railroads. Number six, persons conducting activities in those designated areas where the activities are specifically authorized by written posted notice. And number seven, any federal, state, or local officer or member of an organized rescue or firefighting force in the performance of an official duty. So the chief's notice noted that without this, he had no enforcement ability for fires at this time. I don't necessarily understand why that is, but I trust the chief, and this is on his official letterhead. He said that they've already dealt with one resident using a burn barrel. So to prevent any catastrophes, I chose to act on this immediately. Council, do you have any questions?
Yeah, no. How are we going to get this information out to the people of Alberton?
This will be posted in the standard places that we post, which is the post office, the little board out here, which actually won't happen until Thursday when there's somebody in the library, our front door, which is on our front door now, on our website, which will get done tomorrow, or maybe later tonight, depending on how that goes, and that I will be contacting the commissioners for further. I've already contacted Roman, but once I have a discussion with him to find out what next suggested steps are, if there are any, and that posting will probably then continue in the bars, at the grocery store, anywhere that people typically are.
And the email, the town emailing list as well?
I don't know that
I don't have access to it yet.
I don't think it's set up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We've been
trying to figure out the website.
But unfortunately, that was something that the past clerk set up, and
For me personally, getting the town newsletter via email is super useful because I check that all the time. But
good.
Okay, great. Well, I mean, nothing we can do, and it's good information. Obviously, if the fire chief thinks that this is necessary, then it's necessary. You know, we trust him.
Well, what we can do though is to publicize this and talk about it.
Right.
Make sure that we let our neighbors know and talk about it.
Yeah, I was going to say we could dig it around to our neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can definitely take it around to your neighbors. Anybody who would like more copies of the notice, please come to the office.
Here's a question for you.
Welcome to copy this one.
So there's a part that says people with a written permit that specifically authorizes the prohibited act.
Yes.
What if someone wants that? Do they have to come to you for that permit, or would
Correct.
They go to Chief Frisbee?
They would come to the town for it, the town hall. That's the permits are issued at the town hall.
Gotcha. I wasn't sure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that one part, I mean, obviously you didn't write this, but like when you were reading it, you clarified that any internal combustion engine applies to like tools and stuff like that, not like vehicles. Because I feel like that's a little bit strange because like cars have internal combustion engines, right? Like how do you expect us to not drive our cars from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m.? Like,
well, if you're driving your car across the dry, grassy field, that's not a good idea. But
we don't have
a dry, grassy field, so I don't think we'd be prohibiting people from driving on the road.
Yeah. I mean, well, it doesn't specifically say that. It does say motorized vehicles off roads and trails, but, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was just...
That's why when I was reading it, I said lawnmowers.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most common or somebody's going to be cutting up wood, which I wouldn't think in this weather people would be cutting up wood. But most people who cut wood are more aware of sparks and fire danger and things like that, it seems to me. But
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us a notice.
I thought it was important to get right on it. And any suggestions on getting the news out? We do need a social media post. So if anybody here posts on social media. Great. Do you mind, Sandra? That would be fantastic, just to get it out there. And anybody that has a question, they're welcome to contact Town Hall.
Cool. I'll tell everyone.
Are we sharing an agenda? I don't know what I did.
I have one over here.
Okay.
Do you want me to take a picture of this and post it on the Elderton page right now?
You sure could. That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
Yes. Awesome. Sandra?
I noticed that the school start date is the 19th. You may want to get it out to all the kids to take them to their parents.
That's a really good idea. We'll get it to the school tomorrow, for sure. Yeah. Although I could, well... Their meeting started at 6:30 tonight, so they're, I don't know, they have quite an agenda. We'll see if they're finished by the time we're finished.
I do have a question. How long is this going to last?
Until it is rescinded.
The stage due is over?
Yes, until we post a notice that says it's over, or this is up to 3 or 2 or 1.
He'll notify you, right?
I will know, yes.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Do we have any public comment? Not today. Charlie, you want to say anything about how your day went for a public comment? We're killing time because Kyle is racing to get here.
Yep, sorry for my tardiness. They have a meter pit outside in the parking lot. There was always the curious third meter that I could never find. And I searched in that school multiple times with many different people, and we could never come up with this mysterious third meter that we haven't accounted for. Well, we finally found it. It's in a pit out in the parking lot. So, the bikes coming into there were galvanized, but because they were oxidized and moisture, they were just in terrible condition on both sides of the meter. So, we spoke with Amanda Sear, and we have a game plan to go ahead and punch them a new service line this week. So we're trying to get it on the rush deal. We're trying to get it done before school as well. We got it in, and we got it backfilled for the most part today. And the whack packer that we rented stopped around 5:15. And I cannot get the thing to run, thoroughly set, and I... So, either way, we're still on schedule, and so it's good, but...
You didn't agree to pay it overtime, I guess.
Was
the
that?
Wacky Packer didn't agree to pay it work overtime.
Some contract, yeah.
Okay.
So, great.
Well, thank you. So, ladies, if you'd like to go ahead and carry in the next room, and we'll go ahead and start with Sandra. She got the short straw or the long straw, whichever way it goes, because we did it by accident.
Yeah. For the record, Kyle has arrived.
Kyle has arrived. Thank you for the record. So, as I started to say previous, that I get to participate in this process, but I don't get to vote, but I do get to ask questions. So, would you like to start the questions, Tim?
I can start.
I'm off today.
All right. So, we just got a battery of questions. Pretty standard. We'll start with the first one. I think a lot of these actually are kind of like similar to what was on the application.
Yeah, we just get to see them, hear them out loud.
So one of the questions that we want to know is, what motivated you to seek this position? And what do you bring to the role if you were to be town council person?
And you have to ask it the same way when you talk to Carrie too. So okay. Your edit needs to stay the same. Sorry for interrupting.
I grew up at Horton, so coming back here to retire, I want to be part of the community and help build it to where it can be, help go and support it in any way I can. A town council position goes and falls to a lot of my strengths. I currently work in a CPA firm, so I'm familiar with budgeting, accounting, all of that, but my primary background is in state government. I worked Montana law enforcement for 15 years. So, I've worked within the judicial branches and the executive. As my time as a shop steward, I worked with contract negotiations and a wide variety. Sorry, I always get talk fast when I get nervous. I'm definitely nervous. But Alberton's always been a great place to live, and I want to be part of that to continue it for the next generation. And the only way that happens is when the community gets involved.
Thanks.
What experience do you have in leadership, financial oversight, community organizations that would prepare you for this council?
Again, it kind of falls back to my previous answer, but things in particular, as I said, I worked with the state, but there's nothing like having to deal with all the red tape, understanding the laws, understanding the protocols, and being able to function within that complicated system. When you enter into a state government position, regardless of what it is, you are always held to a higher standard. And when you take the time to reflect on what your expectations are for other people, you go and you add to that. So I'm very familiar with that. Working with the union, I dealt with everything from, like I said, contract negotiations to disciplinary. Now working accounting, I do the bookkeeping for the firm, I do payroll, I do a little bit of everything, which includes interviews and terminations. So there's my HR hat. I just have a lot of hats that I've worked with over the scope of my life. I'm an independent business owner. I have had two rentals here in the Alberton Valley for years. Prior to that, I managed it for another firm. And then when I bought them out, I got them as another to the Missoula area. So I'm used to contract negotiations and bids and being a responsible business owner. And I think as a town council member, you have to put on that business sense. You have to be able to take a step back and say, is this in the community's best interest? Is this a temporary thing? Or is this something that we want to go and make a permanent part of our community? And one of the things I have a real strength in is a big picture approach. And I look at the world from the perspective of not how to get from point A to point B, but how many different options are there to get there? And when you look at that big picture, you see so many different options and ways of getting there. And sometimes you can go and eliminate something because you can see those problems in advance. And I want to bring that skill set to the town council.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. Thank you.
That kind of answered the next question.
Well, we still have to ask it. So there are 10 questions, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
May I proceed? Okay. Describe a time you had to make a difficult decision affecting others. How did you handle it? And I think you answered pretty well.
If I had to go to one thing, it would probably be union negotiations. Because when you are stepping forward as a representative on the contract with the state, you are negotiating in good faith, which means what you say is what all those people are going to be held to once that vote goes through. And I like the fact that there's a huge checks and balance within government, because no one person holds all the power. I've always held the position of what benefits the whole benefits the individual versus what benefits the individual benefits the whole. Because when you look at, like I said, that big picture, that's when it truly becomes a clear view.
What do you know about how a rural water district operates, and where would you need to build your knowledge?
A rural water district. I don't know a lot about a rural water district, but I do know we have great resources here. Charlie has been amazing to work with, and I know he has a lot of education and whatnot, and I believe in tapping into my local resources first, if those resources are available. But there's also resources available for learning more through the internet, which is always one of those catch-22s. But there's also the DNRC and other state agencies that you can go and reference. No one person is going to have all the answers. So I think the biggest thing is a willingness to go and find the answers when you don't know them.
Tim, let's go ahead and go down to the
Okay. So, how would you weigh the need for infrastructure improvements against keeping rates affordable for residents?
That's an interesting question. There has to be a balance, but one of the things when you asked about the water district, that's probably the biggest asset the town of Alberton has. So we have to go and weigh the balance of continued improvement and maintenance on it, because if we keep costs so low that we can't do the required maintenance, then at some point nobody's going to have water. But there's a responsible way and a fiscal way to do that by planning ahead, getting a pool over time. Because there's nothing worse than having a big maintenance repair and no resource to draw from. We've had some great access to resources here as far as grants and things like that, but those aren't always going to be available. So how do we as a town go and become self-sustaining? And that comes down to the budget, looking at what we need to operate, what we can go and responsibly increase rates to, because we never want to go and have our low-income, our seniors, vulnerable populations without services, but we also don't want to go and jeopardize the services for everyone. So it's a balancing act.
All
A resident contacts you personally, frustrated with their water bill or service. How do you handle it?
With a referral to the office, because as a council member, it's not something I can go and promise them anything. I want to get them to the people who can do something about it. We can go and reference it as far as a quorum. We can bring it to the agenda. But as an individual, I can't speak to what we can do for them. It has to go through the appropriate channels, and that is through the town office.
That's a good answer.
How would you ensure residents who don't attend meetings stay informed about council decisions?
I think that comes down to communication. Right now we have the website, we have the start of an email list, but there's a lot of other ways, and I think part of that is networking within the community, making sure that those notices are posted, but also that you've networked with people who are going to go and share that information. And there's so many resources as far as getting information out that you need to tap into a wide range, because our community is built of a wide demographic. We've got a younger population that if it's not text or email, they're not reading it. We've got an older generation that if it's digital, they're not reading it. So we have to find a way to go and get the information across the full spectrum of our age group that we represent.
How do you handle disagreement with colleagues when you feel strongly about an issue?
I hold the position of I'll always have a conversation, and it doesn't have to become a conflict. It comes down to sharing ideas, but also listening, being willing to hear both sides, go and do some reflective listening so that they know, I've heard them. I don't have to agree with everything somebody says, but I do need to hear them, and I do need to be respectful.
Tim?
All right, getting close to the end. So if the district were found out of compliance with a state water quality regulation, what would you expect to happen, and what would your role be?
If we were found to be out of compliance?
Yeah.
Well, since Charlie would be the one testing and whatnot, I would go and ask him what we needed to do to bring that into compliance, because our water, like I said, is one of our big assets, and we need to make sure we are keeping our community safe. So how do I do that? I support our people through training, through understanding what their jobs are. I may not always know what somebody does, but I do know that I can support them to be better at their jobs, and that's through training, through education, and through having open communication so that they can bring concerns and whatnot before they become an out-of-compliance issue.
Last question, Carl.
What do you see as the biggest challenge facing this district in the next 5 to 10 years, and how would you approach it?
The biggest challenge. Right now we have an aging infrastructure. We have sewer systems that are rusting out. Like Charlie mentioned earlier, we've got galvanized pipes that are rusting out. We need to take a proactive approach. We need to go and put in a plan now to start doing the repairs before the system fails. Set up a scheduled maintenance thing so that we are taking care of issues rather than trying to fix problems. And when we identify a problem, we fix it at that point in time, because a little plumbing issue starts out little, which is a small repair. But left undone, you have water seepage, leakage, potholes, you have then potential sinkholes. So the biggest thing I have is we need to put in place a plan to protect our resources, and our infrastructure is a huge resource.
Yeah, very good. Say about that question.
Do you mind switching to Gary then? That you could let her
not a problem.
Know that you're sitting there. Thank you so much, Sam.
You're welcome.
And then after we interview Carrie, Carrie will go back into the library and we'll talk about
okay.
Or decide how we want it. Thank you for waiting, Carrie.
Sure.
We're going through.
Thanks for inviting.
10 questions, I'm sorry.
Thank you for the invitation to be back again.
You're most welcome. Thanks for coming back. Do you want to want to do the questions in the same order, or would you like to start from
the I'll at least read the first one since I modified it.
Then you go right on ahead.
All right, this is the same question, but obviously this one's slightly different. What motivated you to seek this position, and what do you bring to the role as town councilperson?
Okay, so my motivation seeking the role to be a part of a unit council was I've lived here for 8 years, almost on 9 years, so 8 years in this town. And this town means a lot to me. And I want to be able to bring my knowledge of communication, clear communication, and also knowledge to be able to work and listen with an open mind. I have experience with working with several teams and collaborating, and that's really important. The biggest thing is, again, to listen clearly, and that's important to me. I want to make our town better. I think we have a great community, and respect. Respect is a big key for me, too, bringing respect for listening to others as well, and open-minded.
What experience do you have in leadership, financial oversight, or community organizations that prepare you for this council?
In my current position now, I do have oversight of paying employees overtime, so I have to look at the day, see what the day is going to look like. I'm not a financial advocate for anything, like that's not my role. I don't, you know, focus on finances, but through the day I do have to make those decisions on what is needed. How do we run daily operations? What's the best thing to do to take care of our veterans for the day with our staffing? So I do have oversight for overtime if needed, also keeping in mind, you know, what that's going to look like. And running the daily duties that are needed, delegating those, asking for resources if we are short to assist, and really kind of following all the policies and processes. I think that's important too when I consider all this. And then talking with my leadership, that's really important as well.
Good answer, thank you.
Describe a time you had to make a difficult decision affecting how you, how did you handle it?
Oh boy, there's a lot of those, but I'll just refer back to one, because it's something we pretty much deal with in my position where I'm working full time now. But I'll refer back to a change that needed to be made that was critical for our mission and what we do. Very difficult change, and a lot of times people, it's hard for change for certain people. So being showing a lot of empathy for the change needed to happen, and so listening to everybody, getting a, it's very important to hear what everybody's feeling when you're moving to a change. But end goal is maintaining the focus of the end goal. It needs to happen. It's critical to happen. And so speaking to that with the team, you can't just make that change and not have everybody come along. It's really important to listen to. I've learned from this difficult thing is maybe to listen a little bit better. It's super important because some people really want to have things the way they're used to. And sometimes it can't be that way. So really showing them I understand this, but also speaking to the reason why that needed to come forward. So it was a very difficult decision, but it was critical for the mission we do every day. And as we're moving through the growing pains, I call them, we're still having our challenges, but if we can be respectful and we can keep our minds open to listening to everybody, and the bottom line is just collaboration. Yeah. So the change is gone, it's happened, but we are again working through it, growing pains, but the coming back, follow-ups are super important. Coming back, circling around, and making sure you follow up is a big deal.
Thank you.
What do you know about how a rural water district operates, and where would you need to build your knowledge?
So for the town of Alberton, I was on a small committee regarding the hiring of the water project. I was invited to that, and actually that, I didn't have any knowledge prior to that with this question. And so I love to learn. I'm a fast learner, but if I don't know something, I definitely will ask my questions. I will go out and learn. It was really interesting. I was with Charlie and whoever the other individual was on this meeting, but
George Taylor.
Yes, thank you. He's wonderful. We had all these packets we had to review and who we should pick or who would be best fitted for this. And it was a lot. It was quite interesting how much that you have to go through and look through. So it's, just taking time. And if I didn't know it, like I said, I would need to go research it. And how would I research it? There's a lot of ways and a lot of places you can go look up information, starting with the library to, am I going to say this word out loud, chat, GPA. You don't always want to use that, but you can look up stuff. There's Google, and then there's also talking with experts. It's about really collaborating and reaching out to other people that are in that area. That's super important. So, I find out. I communicate.
Right, sorry. Next question. So, how would you weigh the need for infrastructure improvements against keeping rates affordable for residents?
Well, first I would have to get some information on the infrastructure. So, I think I asked you to repeat this question last time.
Yeah.
But can you repeat that again?
How would you weigh the need for infrastructure improvements against keeping rates affordable for residents?
That would be something, again, like I stated, I would really need to know more, right? I don't know enough to answer that full out, but I would definitely have to find out more information, get the understanding before I moved, and then talk to leadership, get plugged in, talk to the unit council, and it's really important to also be involved with the town and what the town, that one's a big one. Like, that's the whole point of why we are unit council members, why we're even here is the town itself and the residents. So there would be a lot of work up on that. And then definitely, again, follow up for sure.
A resident contacts you personally frustrated with their water bill or service. How do you handle it?
The first thing I would do is listen. I would not make any promises, obviously, but finding out what it is that I need to do, what they're needing, listening to them, what it is they would like have done, and then also figuring out if it's something unit council can even do, right? If it's something that should be brought to unit council. Just reviewing what the concern was, never making any promises, obviously, but hearing them outright and then bringing it to your council. Not trying to go solely about making promises or, hey, we'll get this done or that. It's something that needs to be followed through in the process.
How would you ensure residents who don't attend meetings stay informed about the council meetings?
So I do understand there's a new place at the post office that we can put stuff. I love that. I know that here at the town hall, we can put stuff on that board, and here we can post it here at the senior center. So another great way, and I think you even mentioned it, would be emailing it. I don't know, I hear we might have an email list for all that want to sign up for it. I think that's fantastic. That would be a great way. But for those that don't have email, because we do have elderly folks that maybe don't have email, I think it's really important in our community, small enough where we could go door to door. I would never be opposed to volunteer to do something like that if it's needed. Social media, Facebook, all of those things are really great places to go to, but sometimes not just relying on that social media piece to do all of the things.
Good. How do you handle disagreement with colleagues when you feel strongly about an issue?
So that's what I've really worked with a lot in my career and learned, is that I think when somebody's passionate about something they truly believe, you see that come out a little more as far as emotion goes because you are passionate about a certain subject. I think the best way is to really kind of not just think about how you want it to be, but really take a moment to listen. I think a lot of times that's, for me, the biggest thing is listening to other perspectives, right, and other teams. And so that is super important. I might feel a certain way versus somebody's going to feel totally different. And I really think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. But being passionate about something, too, it's a good thing to be passionate, but really take a step back and listen to others and their point of view and their perspectives. And at the end of it, having a resolution. That's the biggest key, is to move forward with that resolution together.
Two more questions. All right, so if the district were found out of compliance with a state water quality regulation, if the district were found out of compliance with a state water quality regulation, what would you expect to happen and what would your role be?
Well, I first would need to have more information. I would definitely want to have the mayor involved to know information. My role would be to speak with my unit council to have understanding. There is certain processes and policies that would need to be reviewed and definitely would need to do follow up and address it.
Final question.
What do you see as the biggest challenge facing this district in the next 5 to 10 years, and how would you approach it?
I think as far as this district goes, I mean, we see there's growth. There's always growth. People moving in and growth with the town. I don't know that that's a big issue, but with growth brings more people, more crime. And I think just making sure that we can, as a town, come together with respecting each other, with our communication, with the way we move, right? I think everybody's very passionate about this town that they live in, but just coming to these meetings a lot, there's a lot of tension. You feel it in some of these meetings, and I think that's a good thing in a way, because we care, a lot of us do. I would really like to see that come together a little bit better, if that makes sense. Sometimes it's hard though. We all have our different views on how we believe and what we believe in. So I think if we can move forward as a unit, council, and as a town with more respect when it comes to each other. I know when I first moved here, there was a lot of, who are you? Why are you here? And it was like, wait a second, I am a really good person. Get to know me. Come visit me. Let's talk. I love to talk. I love to talk and interact with people. Just get to know me, know me, who I am. And so I think that's super important to take the time. Take the time and meet your neighbors. Take the time and say, hey, how's it going? You know? So I don't even know if I answered that appropriately for you guys, but that's kind of the route I just
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer.
So,
yeah.
I just, I think that there's a lot of great people in this town. I think we're really super lucky to be here. If we talk about other counties around us, right? I mean, and we see other things that happen. We are really, really lucky to be here in this town. Yeah, I just want to continue to